Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
All right, we are here, but today the we is Chad Brown and Brandon Stokely, Stokely and Zach show, coming up right on noon, and there was smoke out of the chimney over there at UC Health Center, man. How about that?
Woo!
Man! We talked about this yesterday. Fangio needed to talk to the quarterbacks and address the team, and turns out you and I, the old wise pros, knew exactly what was happening. Decision comes out a little earlier this morning. Your instant reaction, my friend?
I mean, this is what I thought was going to happen. So I don't know the whole time. So it's, you know, I think they made the right decision here for the Broncos team to try to win week one and try to be successful this year. This was the right decision to be made. We've been saying on the radio here for months now that the best option for the Denver Broncos was Teddy Bridgewater. And lo and behold, it's Teddy Bridgewater. So all the hate coming on the text line, on Twitter, and from other places, and this and that. Hey, told you so? I don't know. You know, Chad, I want to be a little bit humble here, but the writing was on the wall the whole time with what the Broncos needed at the quarterback position, and Teddy Bridgewater provided that. Then he did it. He did it on the practice field a little bit more than Drew, and then when it mattered the most in the games, he stepped up in a big way, and Drew handled himself fine. So I'm not down on Drew. I thought Drew had a good camp, just not what the Broncos needed right now. That doesn't mean he can't come in week 7 or 8 or Teddy gets banged up or whatever the case may be and do a good job. And I'm not sitting here saying that Teddy Bridgewater is going to go 11-6 either, but he was the best choice for the Denver Broncos this year, what Vic Fangio and this team needs. And they made the decision today. I think it's the right decision. And hopefully he does a really good job, and they won a lot of football games this year. What'd you make of it?
Well, I understand the Drew Lock folks, that Drew Lock contingent, and where they're coming from about the youth and, you know, the arrow pointed up and you've been developing this guy. Let's continue with his development. I understand where they're coming from with all that, but with pretty much everything you just said, I'm also in agreement with. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, came in here with a bit of an advantage, clearly more experience. We heard that from Graham Glasgow. We heard that from other guys as far as his command and presence in the huddle. We saw his, you know, just it's hard to be a guy with great pocket feel without having, you know, spent years in the pocket in the NFL. And we saw that display on Saturday several times, him manipulating the pocket, buying time in the pocket, just a greater sense of ease, command, comfort with, you know, the demands of the quarterback position. Does this spell the end of Drew Lock? I certainly don't think so. As Pat Shurmur talked to me about before the game, it's rare that a quarterback is going to play all 17 weeks in these coming seasons. So to have two good quarterbacks, two guys who are, you know, so close that it was a competition, actually helps the Denver Broncos, because at some point both guys are going to have to play. So I don't think it's the end of Drew Lock, but I think the correct decision was made to go with Teddy Bridgewater as the starter. And I think maybe one of the bigger factors is what you and I talked about yesterday, was the younger players in the huddle. You know, there's so many guys that are under 25, you know, in that huddle, particularly at the wide receiver spot. When you've got a guy with that veteran presence that Teddy Bridgewater does, it can help elevate their game. And also, they can grow their game faster because Teddy's simply going to be more consistent. They're not worrying about which quarterback is going to show up today, the consistent Drew Lock, the inconsistent Drew Lock, which guy is going to be the, is he going to be the gunslinger? Is he going to try to play within himself and take what the defense gives him? Instead, we're going to get Teddy, who's pretty steady. You know, Teddy is quite steady. So that allows those younger players in their growth and their maturation, I think, to accelerate and go faster. So I think that's another factor that, you know, Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur and maybe even George Payton had to kind of think about in this process was, how do we get our young offensive core to accelerate their growth and development? The more steady, consistent you play, you have a quarterback, the easier that process is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that played a part in it, is just having that veteran presence there that can help these young guys, help develop these young guys. And, you know, I don't think anybody's acting like Teddy Bridgewater is, you know, going to be around here for the next 5 years. That's not the case. Teddy Bridgewater has his issues with turning the football over also. So it's not all positives when you look at Teddy Bridgewater. And I haven't been saying that. I know Zach hadn't been saying that. Chad, I'm sure you haven't been saying that. I mean, he has a turnover issue also. But I think when you look at the Broncos situation and what they need this year, what Vic Fangio needs this year, it's just a better fit with Teddy Bridgewater. But Teddy's not perfect. But I think Teddy can do a good job in this situation. I think he'll be more like the New Orleans Saints Teddy Bridgewater than the Carolina Panthers Teddy Bridgewater. You follow me there, Chad?
Oh, I absolutely follow you on
because,
that.
Because of what they have in place here, the weapons around him, the offensive line is better than what they had in Carolina. The tight end is better than what they had in Carolina. Now, they had a few good weapons there at the wide receiver position, but so do the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos' running back situation is better than the Carolina Panthers. Christian McCaffrey was hurt all year. So you think that was ideal for Teddy Bridgewater last year? No. So I think the weapons around him here are more like what he had with the Saints. And I think this running game will help him. Obviously, this defense will help him. So I think he's in a good spot here in Denver to play his best maybe football of his career. And hopefully he does that. You know, I know yesterday James said, you know, he doesn't want 9-8. But, you know, hit us up. RamosLaw.com text line, Broncos Country, 303-713-1043. 9-8, you take it? I mean, would you be happy with 9-8? I know I would be. Chad, I'd be thrilled with 9-8. I mean, that's a huge, you're back winning football games more than losing them. So I would sign off on that. What do you say, Chad?
After 4 years in a row of losing records, of course I would take a winning record. And 9-8 is better than 5-11. I know that was 16 games or 17 games, but it's a winning record. So that's moving things forward. And again, as I just talked about, the development of the other players in the roster is a factor in this. So, yeah, you know, I think we're going to have James come on a little bit later in this segment. Maybe it won't be the same two-on-one beatdown we put on him yesterday.
Well, Chad, I think we need to be nice to him today, you know, because he's got to be a little bit down. He did lose his bet to me, you know, that we made last week when everybody was saying Drew Lock, Drew Lock, Drew Lock. I manned up. I stayed the course. And don't shake your head, Millennial Ben. I see you over there shaking your head. I manned up and still made the bet. Because I still believed it was going to be Teddy. And it's Teddy. So he's a little bit down today. He owes Zach Bye a steak dinner and myself a steak dinner. So we're just going to do it, you know, all at once and just have ourselves a great time. But so he's a little bit down. So I think we need to take it easy on James today.
Okay. All right. We'll play nice because you guys, I'm sure, won't play nice at the steakhouse.
No.
Yes.
No,
I'll take the lump crab meat appetizer for the top of my steak, please. Can I get some black truffle shavings on top of my steak, please?
Oh, man.
Bring me your finest meats and cheeses as well.
That seafood tower, yeah, that looks pretty good to start. Yeah, sure. No, I just think that in this situation where the Broncos are trying to go, it's about the here and the now, you know. Who cares about the future? We don't know what the future is going to look like in 2 years. Drew Lock wasn't a first-round pick. Drew Lock had his opportunity last year. You can't continue to keep going down these road, people, this road of, well, let's take another look at Drew Lock. He might be our future. Guess what? We did that last year. He had that chance last year, and he wasn't a rookie. He was a second-year player. He didn't take advantage of it, and now that's why you have a competition. So the people that are holding out hope and saying, why don't we just give Drew another opportunity, that's not the way it works in the NFL. You can't wait forever. You can't wait 3 years on a second round pick to show you some consistency. He had his opportunity last year. He didn't do well enough with it. And I'm not saying that Drew can't be a good quarterback in this league, but right now, you know, he lost that opportunity last year. And now things have to go his way for him to get another opportunity. That's just the NFL. But 9-8, I mean, sign me up for it right now.
Absolutely. And NFL, there's no fairness there, because there's some folks who are complaining about fairness and the fairness of the competition. Was it a sham? Was it this? Was it that? There's not fairness. Did you play better or did you not? That's the only way you have an opportunity to create a sense of fairness about this whole thing. I played long enough and you played long enough, and I want to get into this later in the show, about some of our disappointments along the way. You played 15 years. I played 15 years. You played that long. You're going to be disappointed unless you're, you know, wearing a gold jacket like some of those guys that we know, over the course of your career, where you felt like things didn't go your way. Coaches made a decision that wasn't necessarily fair. You weren't given a fair shake or a fair opportunity, whatever the case may be. So I want to get into a little bit of that just to have a little bit of empathy in some ways for what Drew Locke is possibly going through and illustrate, you know, what that puts a player through and how you have to kind of battle back from that. But I want to get into that later in the show. But again, the sense of fairness was you got an opportunity for 18 games to show who you are as a quarterback. Unfortunately, you did not seize that opportunity in enough of a way where they felt compelled to not bring in any competition. They brought in competition. You improved your game, but unfortunately, the competition in this case still played better.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it's not going to be about, you know, who was right here, who was wrong, evaluating this quarterback situation. But Zach and I have talked about this a lot. Drew's history here last year was going to hurt him in this competition. His bad history. He had bad history here last year with Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio. And I think that played a part in it. You know, if Drew was the guy coming from Carolina and Teddy was here last year and played like Drew, well, then I think Drew Luck would have been the starter. But unfortunately for Drew, it was flip-flopped, right? So Drew had that bad history here. He only won 5 games for him last year. He couldn't stay healthy. He got hurt. He threw the ball to the other team too many times. So I think in the end, you know, that was kind of, I don't want to say a tiebreaker because I think Teddy was ahead, but that really hurt Drew, was his history here last year with this coaching staff. Teddy came in here. He's, you know, quote unquote, the veteran quarterback. He's the guy that didn't have the bad year for the Denver Broncos last year, the bad year for Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio last year. So he started even. Drew started behind the eight ball just to start with. And that's just how it works. I mean, these guys are human. You know, they're the ones that lost games with Drew Lock at the quarterback. And I think in the end, you know, that was one of the reasons also why Teddy was named the starter over Drew Lock. Just Drew played bad last year. I mean, there's no way around it. He played really, really bad. Lowest completion percentage and the most interceptions in the league. It doesn't get much worse than that, unfortunately. So now I think it could be a good thing for Drew. I've been saying this also. I think that he will be better suited by watching for a little bit, like he did his rookie year. Sit back, relax, pressure off, continue to grow your game, get better, develop by watching Teddy, see how he handles things, and then you probably will get an opportunity like you did your rookie year. Now be ready to go when you get that opportunity. So I'm not writing off Drew Lock, and I'm not crowning Teddy Bridgewater here, but I think Teddy was the right choice for the Denver Broncos, and I'm glad that they manned up and made the stinking decision. You know, we talked about it yesterday a bunch. Like, hey, let's go. Man up. This is big boy football. Make a decision one way or the other. And they did that. They handled this the right way. They let it play out. And then they made the decision with ample enough time for this offense to get going with Teddy Bridgewater as their leader. So I like the way that they called this thing. Vic didn't play silly games here. So to me, he's growing as a coach. So, you know, I really do, you know, we're critical of Vic when he, you know, screws around and does things that doesn't make sense. But in this situation, I thought he handled this quarterback competition the right way and called it when it needed to be called.
Okay. So I'll push back a little bit on that. What happened between yesterday and today for all those saying, Why today? Why not yesterday? That doesn't make any sense to me. How could you know this morning when you didn't know yesterday afternoon? What happened in practice that made this decision for you?
Nothing. Nothing. Okay. Nothing happened yesterday. And that's what we were talking about. It's like they're not going to see anything yesterday, today, tomorrow, or the Rams game to change a decision. I told you, what did I tell you yesterday? Someone was in the lead. I told you that, Chad.
You did.
There was no tie.
Yeah.
There's not a tie. There's no way it could have been a tie. Someone was in the lead, and in 5 days, that person can't go from in the lead to being behind because they just built that lead up through off-season work, through preseason work, and preseason games. And you're going to tell me in 5 days that person can lose the job that built that lead up? I just couldn't buy it. And why didn't it happen yesterday, Chad? I don't know. You know, one day, okay, I'm not going to sit here and be critical about one day. I don't know. Maybe they had to just talk about it, see how they wanted to handle it. You know, it's a delicate situation. Right? You're talking about the quarterback position. You don't want it to leak out. You want to handle it the right way, especially with a young quarterback like Drew Lock. You want to tell your team first. You don't want it leaked out, all those things, right? So I'm not critical of that at all. It was just one day. Okay. I mean, the sooner the better. I'm just glad, Chad, they didn't wait until, you know, next Friday.
Right.
Right. Or the week of the Giants game. Just, you know, something crazy like that. So one day, it's all good. You know, you wanted to make sure you handled it the right way, and I think they did. And so I have no issue with that at all.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. I think the only time there was, you know, gamesmanship or gameplay in this process was yesterday's, you know, presser from Vic after practice.
Yeah.
But outside of that, they have not been playing games. I know there was talk about, oh my gosh, they're trying to do the thing where they confuse the Giants as to who the starting quarterback was going to be. Vic said it to me with a completely straight face. I'm not playing games. I'm not trying to do that. I couldn't help but believe him. You know, I've had coaches sell me a line before. I didn't see that from Vic in our conversation. So in some ways, I'm glad that it happened as soon as it happened. And to your point, I think the difference between today and yesterday was, let's get all our ducks in a row. Let's get our, you know, PR campaign in place. Let's get our talking points in place. Let me get a chance to talk to both guys, and then I'll address the team, and we can move forward, and that seems to be the case.
Yeah, and look, and we're getting a lot of responses here on the RamosLaw.com text line. Appreciate it. 303-713-1043. How do you feel about it? Chime in. You know, I love Teddy Bridgewater as a backup, but I just think we punted our long-term future down the road, at least for another year. Look, I got it. But your long-term future prospect had an opportunity last year, and he didn't take advantage of it. So it's not about the future. Neither one of these guys projects to be the future of the Denver Broncos at the quarterback position. It's all about 2021. James Merrillat, how you doing, buddy? You okay?
I'm good.
Oh, steak dinner, steak dinner, blue cheese olives.
I'm going to have a lot of blue cheese olives.
Yeah, that voice you hear is James Merrillat, brought to us by the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. And speaking of hot, the beatdown was pretty good yesterday. So Stoke and I have decided to play nice with you here today, my man.
All right.
You know, just as a soft opener. How bad does your heart hurt right now? Got a hole in your heart? How you feeling?
Well, I'm frustrated, to be honest with you. And Stoke, what you just said is why I'm frustrated. Like, neither one of these guys is the long-term answer. Then why on earth are they going with Teddy Bridgewater? Like,
Well, that's why they are.
It makes...
It's because they think Teddy can win this year.
Okay,
that's
so great.
Why.
So at the end of the year, they can try to move on from Teddy Bridgewater after missing the playoffs for a sixth consecutive year and having the 19th overall pick.
Well, how about
that
this?
That seems like a really, really bad plan.
Can I give
me?
You another scenario? Don't mean to cut you off. Can I give you another one? It could be, you know, if Teddy Bridgewater, say he goes 9-8, okay?
Yep.
Goes 9-8, back winning football games, and you know what? You're going to be in the market for a young quarterback, right? Maybe you draft a young quarterback. Well, now you got Teddy Bridgewater to be that gap quarterback for you. You got Teddy Bridgewater to be that veteran quarterback. So he might still be around next year. I'm not saying he's definitely one and done, but he's not the future here.
Well, and let me say this, and I tweeted it earlier today. One of the things I think that's a shame of this, and I'll just say this as a pro Drew guy, is that you get classified as anti-Teddy. I think Teddy's played very well in the preseason. I think he'll do a fine job. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's got a great story. I think he's handled it well. So it's, I'm not anti-Teddy. I'm just anti kind of the big picture, the plan of it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The one thing I do like about it is Vic Fangio has now pushed all his chips in. He has to win in 2021. And to me, he has to make the playoffs. If you don't make the playoffs, then what was the point of going with Teddy Bridgewater over Drew Lock? There was none. So you got to win in September. I think a minimum of 2-1. And I think you have to make the playoffs. Otherwise, this was a colossal mistake.
No, I disagree.
If they make the postseason, then you can defend it. If you don't, all you did was take a guy who does have potential, and I know what you guys think of potential, and you've stunted it. You've stunted his growth for what? To go 8-9? 9-8?
9-8 would be good. 9-8 would be really good, James.
No, that's not good enough.
And that should save Vic's job. If they go 9-8, they don't have to make the playoffs for me.
Okay.
They go 9-8, have a winning record, that should save Vic's job. That's where I'm at.
Wow. Okay, so just so we understand, though, 9-8 and saving Vic's job, he'll be heading into his final year of his contract. Do you give him a new deal?
No.
You make him be a lame duck coach? Because nobody wants to be a lame duck coach.
Garrett Bowles him. Garrett Bowles got his fifth-year option declined, took it personally, and made himself better. You know, what's wrong with putting a little – the seat has been hot under Vic Fangio for a bit. So if it's hot next year, then great. Keep pushing this team forward, and it won't be hot anymore.
So he'll be 21-28 and have missed the playoffs all 3 years he's here, and you're bringing him back, Stoke? That's part of the reason I thought Teddy was bad is because that is a worst case scenario.
Well, I think I'm not looking at the overall record. Look, the last 2 years were awful, right? I mean, they're awful. But what did you do in year three? We're giving you another year. It's you're lucky to get another year, right?
Wait a minute.
So what do you do this year? His overall record's gonna be awful if he goes to the playoffs anyway.
So wait a minute.
What do you do this year?
We're gonna hold the past against Drew Lock, but we're not gonna hold it against Vic Fangio. Just making sure I understand that.
Well, James, it's two different situations. There's only one head coach, right? And we already said he's coming back for year three. So are we gonna say you have to get to a certain overall record after year three to save your job, which is impossible because the first 2 years stunk.
Let me ask you this. Here's what Vic Fangio has going in his favor this year. He's a defensive-minded coach. He has the most expensive defense in the league, where they brought back Von Miller, Kareem Jackson. They signed Justin Simmons. They brought in Ronald Darby. They signed Kyle Fuller. They drafted Pat Surtain. He's got all he could want on defense. He got to pick the veteran quarterback that he wants. They have an unbelievably easy schedule where not only the teams they open with, but they also play the likes of the Lions, the Bengals. I mean, it's a bunch of last-place teams on this schedule. If you can't make the playoffs with that scenario, and you're Vic Fangio, with everything you need on defense, with your hand-picked, safe option at quarterback, and with as easy a schedule as you'll ever have, if you can't make the playoffs with that scenario, what on earth would make us think that he?
What if they get to 10 wins? What if they get to 10 wins? Is that good enough for you?
No.
And what if you get to 10 and don't make the playoffs?
What if they're 8-9 and squeak into the playoffs? Does that make you happy?
No.
Well, so where's your happiness?
Where is it?
You got to have a winning record. You got to make the playoffs.
Okay.
That's it.
You got to have both of them now.
8-9 getting in the playoffs. That's the equivalent, and I don't think it would happen, but I get what you're saying. But that's the equivalent of what Washington did last night.
Stoke and I have been on losing teams that made the playoffs.
They're the aberration. But I get what you're saying. No, that wouldn't make me happy. I think we would all look at that and say, well, they fluked into the playoffs. They were still a losing football team. In this instance, based on the history, I also think if I'm Drew Lock, I would be on the phone with my agent today saying, get me the heck out of here.
Oh, come on.
I would be
come
done.
Come on.
Well, that's short-sighted.
Done.
No. That's very short-sighted.
No. And here's why.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be the sore loser.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying if I'm Drew Lock. And here's why. So they draft
you. So you want your quarterback to be a sore loser.
No.
Even better.
Let me just lay out all the things they've done. All right? So they draft you. They put you on injured reserve. Stoked. Did we agree they should have never put him on IR?
No,
we didn't
agree.
They stashed him for 11 weeks where he didn't get to work with his teammates, didn't get to go to practice, didn't get to be in meetings, didn't get to have any interaction. Then they bring him back. Don't even give him all the reps for his first start. He gets half the reps.
He was in meetings.
He goes 4-1. All right. Then they fire the offensive coordinator, bring in Pat Shurmur, lay him as the only guy who doesn't get the free COVID pass that everybody else got. Make him go through a competition. He goes 5-7, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns in his one start. He doesn't commit the turnovers that everybody says is the problem, and he still doesn't win the job. If you continually put hurdles in front of me and I jump them, if you continually put hoops in front of me and I jump through them and it's still not enough, it begs the question, what will be enough? And I would rather go somewhere else where they're going to give me a fair shake. I think the thing is a sham.
Can I play
sure.
Drew Locke's agent?
Sure.
Hey, Drew, I heard what you just ran down. There's 32 teams in the NFL. Last year, you were the last ranked passer in this league. No one's knocking on the door for you, buddy. You might want to stay there, find a way to improve your game, grow within the system, and seize your opportunity when Teddy Bridgewater is forced to miss a start. That's the best plan, Drew.
Had he gone 7 of 7, let's call it 6 and 7. 6 of 7 for 155 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Vikings. Would that have been enough?
No, James, so, it doesn't matter. Okay, you're looking at 7 pass attempts. It doesn't come down to one game and your one stat.
There was nothing that would have been enough.
There would have been, James. He had to play better in training camp. He had to be more consistent in training camp. Day in and day out, he just is not ready. And that's the bottom line.
This is not a solo tennis where you're competing against a single player. You are competing against, it's not just you playing golf. It's a direct competition. And while you have improved and you can continue to ask, what more could I have done? Somehow the other guy got more done.
He didn't. And that's my issue with it. Teddy Bridgewater and Silk, we were there at every practice and almost every single day. There were 2 days where it was clear who won. Once it was Drew, once it was Teddy. Every other day was a coin flip in a debate. So my point of it is, you know, everybody says Teddy Bridgewater won the job, and he didn't. It's the same thing if you look back at Mark Sanchez didn't get beat out by Trevor Siemian.
Stop saying that.
He went with Trevor Siemian because it was $5 million cheaper.
Mark Sanchez fumbled the job away by himself.
In late in preseason games when he was playing behind guys who weren't going to make the team, he fumbled. When he played with the starters in the first game, he was 9-10, threw a deep touchdown pass to DT. He outplayed Trevor Siemian, who had a pick six.
Practice matters.
And then all those teams.
The Niners should have had one against the Rams.
All those teams.
Got a break.
Who didn't. Mark Sanchez wasn't picked up by anybody. Mark Sanchez is talking about football on TV right now, not playing football. That's an indicator where he was.
Trevor Siemian's thrown 3 passes since he left Denver. 3.
As much as I am enjoy the double day beat down of you, James, we got to go away for a bit here. Coming up, Stoke and I will talk about what's next for Drew Locke.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
I'm working on time.
I'm upset. 50,000 on my head is disrespect. So offended that I had to double check. I'ma always take the money over. That's why they need me out the way.
Stokely and Zach. I'm Chad Brown sitting in for Zach. We got Stokely on the other side of the glass there. Before we took the break, Stoke, you and I put a second beat down in 2 days on James Merrillat.
Yeah, I don't think he wants any more of us.
Yeah, I think that's, he said he was, you know, feeling blows from both sides, as he should have, because I don't think he had much of a argument there. But he brought up something interesting, and I've seen this a little bit on the text line. Someone's talking about this on Twitter, and Richie put it on the rundown for us. This thought of Drew Locke demanding a trade. If I can't be the starter here, then I got to go someplace else.
Yeah.
Push back on that for me, please. I did it last year. Now your turn.
Well, you said it best, Chad, and Richie brought it up to me earlier, and I said pretty much the same things that you just said to James Merrillat. Look, I get it. You know, I was upset when I was with the Denver Broncos in 09 when they traded Jay Cutler. I'm like, what are we doing here? I'm like, if he's gone, I want to go. And then my agent say, hey, slow your roll down. You need to stay there. That's your best situation.
And I think the same thing for Drew here. Like, you're going to be upset. Of course you're going to be upset. Right? The other guy just got named the starter. But I think you have to take a step back, and you need somebody to that can remove the emotion from the situation and look at it and say, hey, your best opportunity to be successful in 2021 is still with the Denver Broncos. He's not going to go anywhere right now and be able to compete for a job. He's going to have to learn a new offense. Will he be the backup? Will he be the third string guy? But his best opportunity to play and be successful this year is with the Denver Broncos. And that's it. Hey, continue to get better. Continue to work. Continue to grind. And that's what he's going to do. I have no doubt about it. That's what he's going to do. And if I was a betting man, I would say at some point this season, he's going to get an opportunity. One way or the other, whether it's by injury or lack of performance by Teddy, I'd say that he will get an opportunity. Just be ready for it and take advantage of it. And you can flip the narrative real quick. I mean, it happens all the time. You saw it with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. You know, all of a sudden, you know, he looked like a nice, promising, up-and-coming young football player, just fell apart really quickly, got an opportunity in Tennessee, wasn't a starter right away. But once he became the starter, he did great with it. So be patient here. Yes, you're upset. But at the same time, continue to get better and try to improve your game. So when you do get an opportunity, you're ready for it and you take advantage of it.
So much was made about how this was Drew Locke's only competition, only competitive competition in his entire career. He didn't have that in high school. He didn't have it in college. And he didn't have that when he first got to the Denver Broncos. So if this is your first competition, you lose your first competition, and your reaction is to demand to be traded. That doesn't say a whole lot about your mental toughness. That doesn't say a whole lot about your grit. I'm actually reading a book where the title is Grit, and it's I wish I could remember the author's name. She's a researcher. But Pete Carroll fell in love with her concept of grittiness. And when you go into the Seahawks personnel room, all the players are given a grit score. You know, here's your physical attributes, your playing experience, injury history, blah, 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 blah. And there's a column for your grit score. How gritty are you? How mentally tough are you? You know, do you get knocked down 10 times and get up 11? All that kind of cliche stuff. But it really does matter. We want guys who are gritty. At some point in the NFL, you're going to get injured. Do you have the grittiness to fight back and attack rehab with the same way you would if you were trying to get out there and play and attack the game plan and your practice ability? You and I both, over our 15 years, probably were in some situations that we thought weren't fair to us. But do you take your ball and go home? Or do you grit your way through it, have some mental toughness, and try to seize the next opportunity whenever it comes? So for those folks who think they are supporting Drew Lock by saying he should demand a trade, I think this actually would be the wrong thing for Drew Lock, separate from where else would he go where he would have a better opportunity. But for him as a player, for him as a quarterback, your quarterback at the first sign of adversity turns and runs and seeks a different opportunity rather than trying to make the best of what he has there. Again, that wouldn't be something I would want on my record as a quarterback. That's something I would want if I were a coach for my quarterback to have on his record.
Yeah, I like that. That's another good perspective there, looking at it from that point of view. And look, I mean, you're going to go through tough times in sports. You're going to, you know, face some adversity. But that this isn't the end of Drew Lock's career. You know, he's going to have opportunities and, you know, just he needs to look at himself and just continue to improve and get better and use this to motivate him or whatever the case may be and continue to work and get better. And I think he will do that. I've always liked Drew Lock's approach here. And he had a good camp. He had a good camp. It wasn't a great camp. It was a good camp. You still saw some of the same issues that haunted him last year. And that was just too much for him to overcome. Right? You know, the bad history, and you just saw it a little bit too much in camp for him to overcome those mistakes and be the starter here. But that doesn't mean it's the end for him. He's still a young quarterback. He still needs to develop and get better and improve on certain things. And hopefully he can use this time to do that. And when he gets his opportunity, if it comes this year, which it probably will, to take advantage of it and be a better quarterback than what we saw last year. But you know, to think that the grass is going to be greener on the other side. That's just not the case for him. This is his best opportunity this year to try to get on the football field and make an impact. Because if he does get on the football field, this is a great situation for him. You got great weapons around you. You should have a really good running game and a good offensive line. So you want to be in a good situation if you do get an opportunity to play this year. And this is probably, you know, when you put everything together, this is his best situation to be in by far. And I think, you know, I'm not sure how he felt about it right after he got the news. I'm sure he was upset and, you know, hurt. But hopefully he realizes that this is the best situation for him, his career moving forward, and this year.
All right, just to update you, the author of the book Grit is Angela Duckworth, and the full title is Grit, the Power of Passion and Perseverance.
Yeah, I mean, you give it a thumbs up. Should I get it? I mean,
I highly recommend it. If you're a coach, if you are running a business, you begin to see why these people who are successful in each chapter, obviously, dives deep into somebody and their path to success, and it tells their story where they exhibited this grit that, you know, allowed them to become as successful as they were. Not that it was a perfectly smooth path, because life doesn't
work. No path is perfectly
right.
Smooth.
So this is what she's getting into and diving into. Again, it's a pretty quick read. It's one of those, you know, books you pick up at the airport, and within a couple of flights you finish it. But I've walked away like blown away, and I'm really trying to apply some of these principles. And I'm learning when I hire new staff at my companies is I need people with some mental toughness and some grittiness to them. That's really going to help them, you know, stay strong when life doesn't and things at the job don't go their way.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I mean, because that's real life. That's sports. That's life. Everybody has adversity and faces adversity and faces times that aren't perfect. But you have to fight through them, and you have to show that grit. I like it.
Absolutely. All right. So coming up next, we will have Stink on Mark Schlereth. We'll get a chance to hear from Mark and what his thoughts are on this whole quarterback competition.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Where do we go from here now that all of the children are growing up? And how do we spend our time?
Welcome back in. It's 12:45 in the Mile High City. This is Stokely and Zach Show. I'm Chad Brown. We got Brandon Stokely. Zach is out. But we got Mark Schlereth joining us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. We got you there, Mark?
Yep, I am here. Have you guys checked on James Merrillat? I'm worried about that little shaver.
Well,
is he okay?
You know, we did two beatdowns on James.
He's struggling.
2 days in a row.
Right.
So I think he was limping out of the studio last time I saw him. So if you've got more to add to it.
No, I heard yesterday. And it was a beatdown of biblical proportion. So, and then in the midst of it, we got the Mark Schlereth smear campaign, which made me laugh out loud. It was like, it was a perfect segue. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's Teddy Bridgewater instead of Aaron Rodgers, Mark, yes. And this is the 15th day, Mark Schlereth smear campaign.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yes, really we know you would enjoy that. Mark, what'd you make of the news today? Did you expect it? You happy? You think it's the right decision? What'd you make of the news today?
Yeah, I don't think you open up a competition. We've all been involved in competitions over the course of our career. And, you know, to win a competition, everybody in the locker room knows who's won the competition. Everybody understands, especially on that offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball as well, who gives you the best chance to win. And as players and former players, that's what we want, a chance to win. So there's no question in my mind, based on the nuance of football, based on pocket presence, based on the timing, based on understanding where all five eligibles are at all times, based on all the things that are about quarterbacking, who won the competition. To me, it was kind of plain as the nose on your face. And so if you go against that in a locker room environment, every guy in that locker room understands that the real winner of the competition didn't win. And that brings in the integrity of the coaching staff, the integrity of the organization. That brings that into question. So I didn't think there was any other way you could go. I was surprised that they didn't announce it yesterday. What were they going to find out yesterday? I mean, they made this decision. They've had this decision in their mind for quite some time. Because I think it was very clear over the course of training camp and over the course of the practices, more so than the preseason games.
Mark, you mentioned the integrity of the coaching staff and the integrity of the organization. There are some on this station, and there are lots of folks out there in the Twittersphere who are implying that this whole thing has been a sham from the beginning, that there was no true competition, that, you know, we were just led astray, and we was always going to be Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Lock never had a chance. As a former player, I got to push back on that, and I have to imagine that you're in that same line of thinking.
I don't think there's any question. As a matter of fact, I think that it, the exact opposite is true, is that Teddy Bridgewater obviously has, you know, one, he comes into a new organization with a new offensive coordinator. He wasn't in the system last year, so he's got to learn a whole nother set of, you know, he got to learn a whole nother language. So he was behind from the start because he got a late start. This is Drew's second year in it, and he was still wasn't able to win that. My thought process is, we want Drew to win this competition. Why would you not want, as an organization, Drew to win this competition? You know what Teddy is. I mean, and Teddy is a remarkable story because not only did he dislocate his knee going into his third training camp, right, after playing pretty well in his second year, but dislocate his knee. He almost lost that. That leg was almost amputated. That's how bad it was. It took him 2 years to rehab that thing. So you kind of know what Teddy is. You've seen what he's done when he's had a good team around him in New Orleans, going 5-0 and actually playing very well. You've seen what's happened to him when he's had an average team around him in Carolina. You get what he is. I think the organization had a vested interest in Drew Lock winning this competition. He's still on his rookie deal. He's not being paid very much money. You could, if he wins it and he plays really well in the first 8 weeks, you could go to him and sign him to a longer term deal that's not going to break the bank, so you can still build the roster. I mean, they had every incentive to hope that the light went on, you know, that he had this euphoric moment and all of a sudden he understood it and he grasped it and he won the competition and he wrestled away from Teddy. I think that's probably why it took him so long to make the decision. They kept waiting for that moment to happen, and that moment never truly happened. And therefore they picked Teddy Bridgewater because he played better than Drew Lock. I think that's, to me, that just makes the most sense.
Yeah, and I think that's well said. I mean, obviously for the organization, I mean, it would have been best for Drew Lock to win this thing. And he just didn't do enough. And like you said, if everything was equal, I think it would have gone to Drew. But unfortunately, everything wasn't equal for Drew. And that's why Teddy Bridgewater was named the starter today. Mark Slaris joined us here. Mark, what's your expectations now? Now that Teddy Bridgewater is the starter, what's your expectation for the Denver Broncos this year?
Well, can you stay true to form? Like, can you stay true to what we've been sold, the bill of goods we've been sold, right? Which is, we're going to play stellar defense. We're going to run the ball. We're going to control the time of possession. We're going to set up and create explosives through our play action game. More importantly, our run action game, right? Because to me, there's two types of play action. There's a 7-step drop play action where you keep six guys or seven guys in. You run 2 or 3 man routes. And you lock everybody up. You keep a tight end in on one side. You keep a back end on the other side. And, you know, it's a 7-step, turn your back to the defense. Then there's the run action stuff where you're actually running the boot keep game and all that stuff that plays off your run game, right? And to me, if you can stay true to that formula, if you can be in tight games and if you can not vary from that, you've got a chance to be competitive. I don't think you'll win the division because there's still the Kansas City Chiefs. There's still Patrick Mahomes, but I think you can be competitive. I think you can, you know, beat the Chargers. I think you can beat the Raiders. I think you have a chance to be pushing for a wild card spot if you stay true to the formula. If you drop back 35, 40 times a game and think you're going to sling it all over and you think that, you know, you as an offensive coordinator, if I throw it enough and I do great things with Teddy Bridgewater, maybe I'll get another chance as a head coach, then you're going to fail miserably. You have got to win this thing by being consistent. You've got to win games by being consistent. And frankly, you got to win consistency, and the consistency in the boring game. You got to do the dirty work, right? You've got to be able to do the things that actually capture lines of scrimmage and actually help players be as efficient as possible. And oftentimes that's not chucking it deep down the field. That's not the big flashy plays. You've got to create your explosives through the way you call plays, and that's on Pat Shurmur.
All right, Mark, I love the offensive breakdown you gave right there, but this team is really going to win games primarily based on its defense. Give me your breakdown of this defense, but from the inside-out perspective that only an offensive lineman could have.
First off, I mean, you look at just the way they're constructed, and you guys know there's so much played out of sub-package now. 65-70% of the plays are out of sub-package, meaning, you know, you're going to have 5 DBs on the field most of the time, sometimes 6 DBs. They've got so much versatility in the back end. That's a big bonus. That's a big plus for them. As a matter of fact, you saw in the second preseason game against Seattle, Bradley Chubb get a sack that was clearly a cover one situation, one safety in the middle of the field, everybody else in man coverage. And, they covered him up so well in man that second and third push by Bradley Chubb got to the quarterback. That was a coverage sack. There's no question. Talking to a couple of the coaches from the Minnesota Vikings after the joint practices, I was told that Von Miller looks like the Von Miller of 2015. He's lean. He was nasty and he was exceptional in practice in those joint practices. So, the one coach said to me, he's going to have a 2015 bounce back type of campaign.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah, so I think when you know this, Chad, I mean, you were an edge rusher, a supremely gifted edge rusher, a great player. When you have a back end that can hold out for a minute, because you don't get many opportunities in today's game. You know, I always kind of break it down. You probably get 8 to 12 legitimate pass rush opportunities in any game today because the ball is out so quick. There's so much play action, bubble screen, all the crap that we do as an offense in today's game that you may get in a real game, like where it's a real competitive close game, you may get 8 to 10 to 12 opportunities to actually rush the passer. It's hard to get to the quarterback in today's NFL. I mean, really hard. It's always been hard, but it's harder now than I think it's ever been. And so when you have the added bonus of having a legit cover secondary that can really make some plays, it gives you so many opportunities to create turnovers, to create sacks, strip sack fumbles, and all of that I think this defense has a chance to be really good. And that's why you've got to play a complementary style of football. You've got to – don't give them short fields to defend. Don't give them any extra opportunities with the ball. Possessions are – I mean, every possession matters. And to make a defense play extra possessions – and I always say this, man, playing defense is so much harder than playing offense because it's reactionary. You got to – you know, you can have a great pass rush. Your play is not over. If I block you and it's 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, you have a couple of great pass rushes, but I win and the quarterback delivers the ball, I stand there and watch. You've got to run down the football field and try to make a play. And so it's just more difficult, physically taxing to play defense than it is to play offense. So an extra possession or two a game that you have to defend as a defender, that can be 10 or 14 points. I mean, it is that dramatic a change when you go from, hey, we played 60 games to 73 plays. That extra 13 plays can be 13 points like that. And people don't understand how much more difficult that is and why complementary football becomes so important.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Mark. Always appreciate having the wise former players as part of the show, not guys who are clamoring for exciting football.
Right.
So thanks for the good football stuff there, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
You guys got it. Be good.
All right, coming up next for Stoke and I, it's official. Teddy Bridgewater has been given the keys to Dad's car. Is it playoffs or bust? Winning record or bust? We'll find out. We'll talk about that after the break.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.